The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health for Ulster County. With me today is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Dr. Smith, today we're going to be talking with the folks over at Health Alliance, and they're talking about their mental health trainings and their programs, which have been upgraded in the recent past. And we have with us Noah Kriegel, who's a project coordinator of the Mental Health Awareness at Health Alliance, Mental Health Awareness Programs at Health Alliance Hospitals. And Noah is a graduate of Binghamton University's 2021 class and is currently in his first year in this job as project coordinator. And we're very happy to have him. Noah, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Hi, Vin. Morning, Dr. Smith.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
Of course.
So Noah, can we start with just giving our listeners a little bit of context and background about what it is that you do at Health Alliance and what the Health Alliance's mental health training grant is all about? Can you give us an overview?
Of course. So I'm a project coordinator on our federally funded mental health awareness training grant. So essentially, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration branch of the United States Health Department has given Health Alliance funding to give mental health awareness trainings in Ulster County, Dutchess County, and Delaware County. These trainings are cost-free. They're about mental health issues to people in healthcare field, municipality employees, educators, students, first responders, familial caretakers, people who work in the recovery field, and just about any concerned member of the community. A significant focus of the program is those who work with youth populations, especially if that youth population is at risk. On the grant, I act as an instructor in mental health first aid for both youth and adults, and I am also an instructor in some Crisis Prevention Institute trainings. I work with our community partners to promote these trainings, refer individuals to proper services, and to take the temperature of the public to see what the needs of those in the field and in the community are and what trainings would make the most sense to provide to them.
Mm-hmm. And so is this primarily to help individuals that work with youth or around youth to recognize the signs and symptoms of potential behavioral health issues, and then with the ultimate aim of referring them to counseling or some kind of professional help? Is that the idea?
Yes. So the idea is, once again, we're going to focus mainly on individuals who work with youth. And there are a couple of reasons for that. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, half of all chronic mental illnesses begin by age 14. So that's more of a national view on the issue. And as far as a local view, youth in Ulster and Delaware counties are relatively likely compared to the rest of the state to be living in poverty, to experience substance use, and overdoses from opioids. So when you consider all these factors and the fact that youth who go through these adverse experiences are more likely to have trauma or some other mental health concern, it becomes clear that it's very important for people who work with youth and people who are in the lives of youth to be made aware of the signs of these mental health or substance use concerns and know how to get them support. Furthermore, a huge part of mental health not being addressed is stigma, and a lot of our training deliverables are focused around the reduction of stigma. It shows that these events can happen to anybody, and recovery from them is not just possible, but it's likely. So communicating this to youth and people who are in their lives can lead them in the proper direction of getting help, whether that's counseling or some other treatment.
And, you know, we see, of course, you know, the tragedy of young men in particular involved in, you know, gun violence or mass shootings, whatever. Does this program also speak to helping people in the school environment recognize, or parents even recognize, when a youth might be struggling, and how to mitigate that and really intervene in a positive way?
Yes. So one of our deliverables is youth mental health first aid, and that curriculum emphasizes the challenges that individuals may face in childhood, adolescence, and young adulthood, and the signs and symptoms that they may kind of throw out to the people who are in their lives. And we actually work with the Maya Gold Foundation, which is a foundation based out of New Paltz, to provide youth teen mental health first aid, actually, which is a program aimed specifically at 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. You train them in how to recognize these signs and how to get a trusted adult for help. And then we also train 10% of that school's staff in youth mental health first aid, so they're equipped to, you know, deal with whatever challenge. And it is a pleasure to work with them. They are great people.
Yeah, they're really, Maya Gold Foundation is terrific. My daughter was involved with them for several years, and I actually know Elise Gold, who is Maya's mom from years ago. Really, really good work that they do. So is there a peer-to-peer, forgive me if you already mentioned it, but is there a peer-to-peer dimension to this as well? Do you train other youth to recognize when their friends are struggling?
Yes. So if you're giving teen mental health first aid to a school district, they essentially want everyone between 10th and 12th grade to be trained in that framework. And that framework provides them, you know, with some tools and some examples of what, you know, if one of their friends is struggling with a mental health concern or a substance use concern, what that might look like and how they can offer them support, you know, how they can talk to them in a way that isn't stigmatizing, doesn't demean, doesn't diagnose them with anything, but is still coming from the right place, trying to get them help, not making or passing judgments on them, just coming forward and saying, you know, that sounds really hard, but I'm here for you in whatever needs to be done, and I can assist you in whatever way to, you know, find some help for yourself.
Yeah, that sounds like it's really invaluable, right? Because if you could have the kids actually doing that, not only are they other kids more likely to open up to them, but, you know, being around each other as much as they are, they're in an ideal position to recognize when something is amiss.
Exactly. Especially if, you know, some of these kids or teens are, you know, at risk or have gone through some adversity, you know, it gives more people in their lives the tools to help them. Because if they have adverse experiences with adults or authority figures, they may not open up to them as easily as some other kids or teens, and they might rely more on their peers.
So Noah, getting back to your grant, so what are the key deliverables in your grant? And perhaps you could also speak to who your partners might be in this.
Yeah, definitely. So this grant started in 2019 offering mental health first aid and youth mental health first aid. Mental health first aid is an evidence-based curriculum that provides the average person with a framework for addressing mental health concerns without diagnosing, pathologizing, or shaming. It was started in 2000 in Australia by a behavioral health educator and a nurse, I believe. In 2008, the training was brought to the United States. We can thank the states of Maryland and Missouri for that initiative. And the main goals are to teach participants how to identify a mental health concern in an individual they interact with, how to address this concern in a respectful and non-judgmental manner, and how to provide them reassurance while connecting them with proper resources to put them on the path to recovery. This training distinguishes between concerns and crises. It establishes that safety for all in a crisis is paramount, and that first responders in a crisis need to be called immediately. Youth mental health first aid is adapted from this curriculum, but it emphasizes challenges that younger people might go through, such as trauma, social media issues, bullying, and it also emphasizes protective factors. I have a few more if we have the time.
we have about a minute and a half, so go ahead.
Great. So LivingWorks offers two deliverables that we have on the grant. One of them is Safe Talk. This stands for Suicide Alertness for Everyone. It's shorter. It's about 3 hours. It's more of an introductory training on suicide alertness, recognizing the signs of suicidal ideation and behavior, and using language that destigmatizes suicide, and how to keep this individual who is struggling with these thoughts safe while you get them further help. Assist is another LivingWorks deliverable, and that stands for Applied Suicide Intervention Training. This is a 16-hour course that teaches participants a framework on how to intervene when someone is dealing with this behavior, and how to create a safety plan while respecting the autonomy of the individual who's struggling. Some of our other deliverables include psychological first aid. This is a training provided by New York State's Office of Mental Health to address psychological concerns during or after a disaster situation, such as a flood, an earthquake, fire, a flu outbreak, a chemical spill, or, you know, an act of mass violence. And we also offer some Crisis Prevention Institute deliverables. They've been providing classes on aggressive behaviors and crisis interventions for over 30 years for healthcare workers and educators. And the training that I offer mainly is nonviolent crisis intervention. It uses a trauma-informed and person-centered approach to teach participants about how to regulate behavior when you're in a crisis, the role of social and environmental factors in aggressive or risk behaviors, and a mixture of physically restrictive and non-restrictive safety interventions to keep everyone in a crisis situation safe. That includes the person going through the crisis and everyone surrounding them. I can teach this curriculum for, you know, a standard audience, but I can also teach it to an audience who works mainly with individuals who are on the autism spectrum.
Wow. What really, really incredible work. And no time is it more needed than now, you know, with, you know, certainly a youth mental health crisis has been identified, you know, as a public health crisis throughout the country. So really great work. And we want to hear a lot more about it. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
When you need me, I'll be by your side.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Noah Kriegel, who is Project Coordinator for Health Alliance's Mental Health Awareness Training Grant, where he acts as an instructor and an administrator. Noah, during the break, we had some further discussion about what inspired you to pursue this type of work, and maybe you can give us some of your story that would help to enlighten us on this question.
Of course, Doc. I'd be more than happy. I grew up with mental health issues being pretty relevant. Both of my parents are in the mental health fields themselves. My father is a social worker. My mother is a psychologist. And I have a twin brother who is on the autism spectrum. So these themes of mental health have always been of interest to me in some way. I went to college, graduated with an applied philosophy degree, essentially. And I decided that I did not want to go to law school, even though that's essentially the point of the applied philosophy degree. And what I really wanted to do was help people, but I was really stuck as far as where I wanted to go and which direction I wanted to turn to help people. I was living in Sullivan County, and I happened to apply for a part-time position at the Center for Discovery, which is a disability services agency located in Monticello, New York. And because of my background, I was offered a full-time position as a qualified intellectual disabilities professional, which is essentially a case manager mixed with a behavior support role. And I worked there for a little over a year, and that's really where I found myself. It was work that made me feel good, and I decided that this was the way I wanted my career to go, that I wanted to be able to help people who were having issues with their mental or behavioral health, whether that's from substance use, some internalizing behavior and conditions, people who are in tough family situations, people who are struggling with being unhoused. I wanted to be able to use my skill set and my passion to help them get on the road to either recovering or just, mitigating some of these behaviors that might have gotten in the way of their success.
Well, that's really a very inspiring story. So, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for, devoting yourself to this extremely important type of work. And we know from experience living in this community that mental health and behavioral health concerns is of great importance to people here, and they are continually asking for more resources to help them deal with these issues. So thank you for devoting your time and energy to this very important work in our community.
Of course, I want to be able to support people, especially if they feel like they don't have anywhere to turn or the words to talk about these types of things, because not so long ago, I was in a similar place, and I want there to be more people in this community who have the words to talk about these things and give support, make people feel less alone.
Well, it's so important to, help to eliminate the stigma that for so long in the past was associated with mental health issues and problems. And I think some of that stigma, because of work such as what you're doing, may be starting to go away, because I think more of us realize that we are all subject to having some of these same issues, regardless of the path we have in life or the role we play, that we are not immune from having issues of this type. And that the more we appreciate that and, help each other with these issues, the better we will all be for it. So thank you.
Of course. Yeah, I couldn't agree more that, you know, awareness is only a good thing.
So, Noah, before we talk about some of the specific services that Health Alliance offers and some of the, you know, I know there have been some upgrades going on there. What would you say to, you know, the average person on the street about what they could do to support friends or loved ones or even acquaintances that they may notice who are struggling? Because, you know, as we mentioned in the as we discussed in the break, that isolation, that feeling of nobody really knows what I'm going through, and, you know, and I'm kind of afraid to bring it up because I don't want people to think that, you know, that, you know, that I'm a person, you know, who's struggling. So what would you say to the individual about being able to step in and be that that shoulder and that, you know, that person who cares?
Yeah. So one thing we want to do is we want to monitor our communication, not just what we're saying, but how we're saying it, right? We want to monitor, if this is in person, we want to monitor some body language and our facial expressions. And we also want to make sure that we're using the correct words and tone, right? So if someone is struggling with, let's say, a breakup, and they are experiencing, you know, some depressed thoughts, you don't want to tell them, wow, you're really not handling this well. You really need to go see somebody about this. You want to use language that is less judgmental and a less judgmental tone. You know, I understand that this is really hard for you, and I'm here if you want to talk about this. But if you don't think I'm the right person to talk to, I can refer you to some other friends or some professionals in the area. Things like that. Mm-hmm. You want to be as non-judgmental as possible when, you know, somebody is experiencing something like this. And I want to touch on one thing as far as giving somebody support. I think a lot of the times we want to fix all these big problems and we want to say, this is exactly what you need to do, because I've been in this situation before. That doesn't really validate the situation that the person is in. It dismisses how they feel because you're kind of just assuming that everyone has gone through something like that. Whereas, you know, you could say that differently. You could say, I can't understand exactly what you're going through, but I know people who have gone through something similar, or I have gone through something similar, and I understand how hard this may be on you. You also don't want to necessarily give advice. I think a lot of times people want to kind of come to the rescue, right? They want to say, oh, this is exactly what you need to do. I think the best thing to do if someone is experiencing a mental health concern and you want to be able to get them help is to present them options of whether that's professional help or some form of self-help, self-care. You know, I really like the phrase for some, for others, for you. You know, you could say when some people are experiencing a breakup and they're having trouble getting through it, they talk to a therapist or a counselor. Some people prefer to go to a group therapy session and hear that there are other people who are experiencing things that are similar to what they're experiencing. For you, it's important that we figure out what option is best.
So, Noah, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we let our listeners know where and how they can get in touch with you and learn more about, you know, the specifics of the services that you offer. So how do they do that?
Yeah, so you can call me anytime at 845-538-8877, or you can email me at Noah, N-O-A-H dot Kriegel, K-R-I-E-G-E-L, at HAHV.org. We can talk about what training is best for you or your organization, or if you have any questions or concerns about your mental health or the mental health of somebody in your life, I can refer you to one of our many community partners or resources.
Wow. So Noah, I'm really glad to hear all of this, because one of the reasons why is I'm going to be co-presenting on suicide at a local African-American church in April. So this has also already been helpful in informing about what to say.
We really appreciate hearing all about these services and the work that you're doing. Thank you so much, Noah.
Of course, it's my pleasure to be here and to spread the word.
Yeah, we thank you for your work, the work of your colleagues, and on behalf of our community. And that's all the time we have for now. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.